Welcome to Empire Building, the podcast where we talk about building big businesses and even bigger lives. I'm your co-host, Seychelle Van Poole.
I'm Sarah Reynolds.
I'm Wendy Papazan.
And I'm Bea Williams. So we just went over communication and how important it is for leaders. It's probably one of the biggest parts of being a leader. So today we wanted to give a tactical episode on all of the actual in the weeds stuff that we all do day to day in communication in our leadership.
So this is going to be so juicy, guys. So
super
good.
Juicy, and it's super unscripted. Like no one wrote the episode. You know,
Yeah, because you know, that's how you do effective communication.
It really is. If I think about it.
I think sometimes this falls into the category of like you, a little bit of unconscious competence. Like sometimes you forget what you do because it's so ingrained in your company or your company's culture. But I do know one thing, because I always think of you, Sarah, when I hear anyone talk about level 10 meetings. And Wendy, you do level 10 meetings too. That's kind of a cool tactic to start with. Like what is a level 10 meeting and, you know, what should we know about it?
Yeah, so there's two books that sort of make up the what's called the EOS system, which is the Entrepreneurial Operations System. I'm going off memory here, but one's called Rocket Fuel and the other one is called Traction. So Rocket Fuel is about having a visionary in your organization and then an integrator. Traction is my favorite book because it's more tactical. And in Traction, they talk about part of the EOS system is called a level 10 meeting. And if you want to know more about the level 10 meetings, you can YouTube it. And there's like a 10-minute video of explaining level 10 meetings. But what I love about level
10 meetings, you can also listen to episode 106 of the Empire Building podcast.
Look at that. Yeah. Don't go to YouTube.
Don't go to YouTube.
I love it when we start quoting like
we're on YouTube. You actually can find
that's
us.
That's true.
On
Hi,
YouTube.
Diane.
And watch 106 if you want to have the best of YouTube and Empire Building podcast all in one.
I love it.
And see our
Level
Friday
10
hair.
Leadership meetings is a frame. Yes. And
I'm sorry. Okay, go. We're starting again. Sarah.
So level 10 is a framework for how to run a leadership meeting, and it's really all surrounds communication. So to make sure that you as the leader are being communicated from your leaders as to what's going on, and then you have a cadence for solving problems, and then how you then solve the problems and then communicate them back to the organization. So that's the first sort of tactical thing that many of us do in terms of our day-to-day and how we communicate.
Well, and this is just a great weekly system to get all your leaders on the same page. That's really what we're talking about. So if level 10 doesn't speak to you, you still need some kind of probably weekly communication cadence with your leadership team.
Yep. Oh, yeah, for sure.
The other thing that's very effective is the 411. Those of you that use the 411 know I'm a big advocate of the 411. You can listen to episodes 107 and 108 on the Empire Building podcast, if you're curious about that, or watch him on YouTube. I mean, why not? Watch him on YouTube and get the best of both worlds. Like,
also, if it helps you, leave us a positive review.
Look at you guys.
Yes, go ahead. On YouTube. Yeah, why not? Leave it on YouTube.
I don't even know where we
have reviews on YouTube. Yeah. Anyway, so the 411 is actually a one-on-one, right? So the level 10 leadership meeting is a weekly group meeting with your whole leadership team. The 411 is individual meetings with your top leaders on your team. And during the 411, you are figuring out what their big rocks are. Are they in alignment with the vision? Whatever your employee is working on, is that what they're supposed to be working on, and does that align with the overall, you know, plan for the team and the organization?
Something I've learned something I've learned too with the communication. If you're going to be doing like your level 10 meeting or your 411s or one-to-ones or 12-week year, your WAM meetings, whichever system you're using, I have found to schedule that during your most productive time during the day when you have the highest level of energy. And so like when you're planning out your communication, for me, I'm best in early morning. So I have all my most important meetings first thing in the morning during the day because I know that's when I'm at my best. But whenever it is, plan those since you are the leader, plan those when you're at your best so that you can bring your A game to the table.
That's so good. The other sort of tactical thing that we do for communication is a morning huddle. So every morning we get on for about 15 to 20 minutes as an organization. And we do this across all of our locations, across all of our departments, get on for about 15 to 20 minutes. I have found these the best to educate and to communicate our values. So telling stories about a team member that is exemplifying a value for that day, or one of our values is results oriented. So celebrating the results we had the day before, but coming together 15 to 20 minutes as an organization, and then using that as a way to communicate things in addition to other ways as well. But morning huddle has been huge for us. That's helped us also build the culture of our organization across many locations and made us stronger, I think, through COVID as well, as just coming together every day as a team.
Yeah, what we do in one of my teams is we have a morning call every single morning for 15 minutes. It's not a huddle. It's not a stand-up. So I don't know. I was hesitating. I'm like, do I share this or not? Because is it communication? But I am going to share it because what we do is there's about 10 people on that team. And every person, about every 10 days, our admin kind of says, okay, you've got this date. It's up to them to trade if they can't make the call. And they come up with a topic and there's a roll call element involved. That's the only rule. Whatever topic you want and everybody has to share. And we were at an offsite a couple of days ago and they all mentioned how tight they feel. This is our tribe. That was the word. And a lot of them referred back to that morning call. They know what's going on with their colleagues. It enables them to encourage them, to support them. They knew if they were having a tough day because it came up in the call. And so it's been this, I almost think it's like the foundation in a way of my remote team is this morning call. It's not a Zoom, guys. It's a call. A lot of people are driving into work. Some people are in the habit of kind of being at their desk and that launches their day.
I love that. Yeah. Well, and I think it's just good for your people to see or hear you on a daily basis, right? You know, I can remember, I think we were on our, I think we were on one of our retreats, actually, Sarah, and you were like, I got to get on this huddle because they haven't seen me in a couple of days. And I just remember, you know, noting that and thinking, gosh, that's just so smart because people just, you know, you cannot be a hidden leader, right? You just can't be a hidden leader. And even if it's for 5, 10, 15 minutes, it's just very impactful for them to see you, to be showing your leadership, to be exemplifying what the organization exemplifies. And so it can be a very powerful habit.
Yes, Via, I'm so glad you did share that because I think that's such a key actually part of communication is even having a time like that that's maybe not a stand-up, but it's actually talked about in the Scaling Up book that I have sort of studied over the last 12 months. And it is about having communication amongst your leadership, even on personal things, because then you understand what each other is dealing with, you understand what's on their plate, and then you can actually help effectively. I think that's a key part of communication. And so I'm so glad that you shared that, Via. That was powerful.
Well, and Sarah, in Sam Walker's book, Captain Class Leader, which is one of my favorite top three books on leadership, he talks about you can turn the sound off and watch a sports team on a field or in a court. And you can tell how good they are by how they internally communicate without knowing anything about the team. If they're in sync and you see them catching eye contact and whatever, that's the sign of a winning team. He studied the winningest teams.
I love that.
So good.
That is awesome.
So what other tactical things do you guys do?
Yeah, well, I think in alignment with that is really kind of what you're talking about, Via, which is to just weekly stay in touch with people sort of on a personal level. And I can remember listening to our friend Stephen Cooley talk about how his goal is to really reach out to every single person on his team every single week. He's got, I don't even know, 100 plus people on his team. And I really took note of that because my team is much, much smaller. And I'm not sure that I do that. I have a professional time with almost all of them. And Just asking them, hey, how'd your day go? Or I saw this on social, or, you know, is everything going with you? Or, you know, how's your wife doing? Because I know she's about to have a baby in a month. Like that, kind of making that a habit is really, really powerful.
That, you know, the other thing Stephen does that it like blew me away, and I sort of implemented this a little bit my way, but he still does handwritten checks to his agents, like like their actual checks. And he writes a note on every paycheck, like on the top part, and like tells them like what a great job they did, or if he knows it was a hard transaction, or if he knows. And I was approving payroll. My COO was down for the count, and I had to jump in and help with payroll. This was like a month ago. And I started tagging the agents and the ISA saying, what a great job. Like you did, like sort of Stephen's, not a handwritten, because we don't do actually handwritten checks. But I got so many people like that meant so much to me, like that you even recognized that that was a hard transaction or what I did in that situation. And so communicating doesn't always have to be verbal, right? So like handwritten notes, acknowledging if they're having a hard time and breaking through it, all of those things. Stephen's such a good leader in this way, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm literally taking notes. Like I keep muting to type notes.
That's awesome. Well, in conjunction with that, you know, it's knowing their favorite things to send as gifts.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like we keep, we have a favorite things list of every team member. So when they do something really well, we know what restaurant to reward them with or what favorite store they have or birthdays. And the fun part about that too is when you, like part of our raving fans with our clients in communication, but also with our team members is to delight and surprise. That's something that we love to do. And so when they do something well, to be able to delight and surprise them in a way that they want to receive it with communication and also with a gift or a reward of some kind is really fun. And also like taking notes of like who is more apt to want to be recognized on social media versus who might want a personal note or a call. So you can communicate with a client or with a team member in a way they want to be communicated with.
As a leader, it can be lonely. You're ready to grow and you realize you need the right community to get you there. With Empire Circle, you'll be surrounded by driven, adventurous women who want more in business and in life. You'll get real-time feedback, personalized guidance, and honest advice from seasoned leaders who have built businesses and net worths in the hundreds of millions, all while living their big lives. If this sounds like the fuel you need to level up your business and your life, Empire Circle is absolutely for you. You can get more information at herbestlife.com by clicking on Empire Circle. Come and let's build your empire together.
That's so good.
Okay, here's a question for you guys. Oh, sorry, Sarah.
No, go.
I was going to do a poll, though. I was going to see what your primary, because Wendy and I were talking about this earlier, what is all of your primary communication vehicle or like system or whatever it is for your teams? Is it text? Is it Slack? Is it email? Do you have a Facebook Messenger, WhatsApp, you know, whatever it is? Like what would you say your primary GChat, you know, what do you guys use the most? Mm-hmm.
So good question, which leads to actually what I was going to say, is you actually shouldn't just have one primary. So what I've learned when you're smaller, meaning you should have, we use Slack. Okay. To answer the question from a technology standpoint, like, so we have Slack, but one of the things that I've learned is when you're smaller and we have failed forward is that you have to have multiple mediums of communicating something, and you need to communicate something, especially a change, 3 to 5 times, and you have to follow all of the mediums. So like, for example, we wrote out a communication flow, and I'm all in on this communication thing because of the book. Oh my goodness. Gary Keller had asked us to read it.
The hard thing about hard things?
Hard things about hard things. Mm-hmm. He says, you know, you cannot as the leader, like the communication is your job. Like that is your job. And so I've been really like leading in communication with my leadership team on the communication flow. And we developed a framework for when something occurs or change is made, all the ways that it has to be communicated. So the first way is at a team meeting, and it needs to be verbal. And then it also needs to be on a visual slide. Then every week we have an email newsletter that goes out. It needs to be on the email newsletter. And then it needs to be mentioned on a morning huddle. And then it also needs to be mentioned in the area meeting. So we have our network-wide meeting, and then we have an area meeting. And then it needs to also be mentioned in Slack and our important announcements channel. And the more that you can do video with also the writing of it, the better. And so we now follow this communication flow to love where that. It's not because I was...
Are you okay? Are you having a little heart attack, Via?
I'm having a crush on this. I'm freaking out. This is amazing.
Well, this is good.
It's good.
I'm writing it down.
We kept saying. I put it in our show notes too. And we were telling the organization, like, well, we talked about that. You missed that. Like, and then it's like, yes. No, that's our job as the leader to make sure that it's, you know, depending on how big of your organization, we're now almost up to 300 people. Well, some people are going to be on vacation. They're going to miss it at that meeting. Yeah. Some people are going to, you know, so you have to talk about something 3 to 5 times in all of the different mediums to make sure that it gets heard. And that is your job.
To be clear though, if you have an organization of 3 people, you probably don't need to do that.
True.
You know, true. So at a certain point, that's probably because people are missing and there's a lot of stuff going on. But just if your organization is smaller, I like the idea of all the different channels, but maybe not 5 times because your people might think you're completely bananas, you know?
Okay. But what if you're a manager of your kid's soccer team and there are 18 players and 18 sets of probably 24 or 30 sets of parents and, you know, coaches and coaching staff.
Well, I personally wouldn't want to hear something 5 times in 5 different mediums from my kid's soccer coach, but I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. Like there's snap, there's texting, there's emailing, there's telling you the game, there's phone calls. I don't know.
So you always have certain parts of your team that are all in, like, so meaning they're like, they hear it do hear it 5 times because they're reading the newsletter. They're looking at Slack. They're in the meeting, you know, and some of them have said like, okay, yeah, we talked about this already. And I explained, but we've noticed people were missing it. And our job is to make sure that we communicate that. And if you can help us spread the word, you know, cause you're really good in this area. So get those.
But how do you balance like those people who do get it? And then the people who I would consider like the lowest common denominator, maybe the people who are multitasking through meetings and they're not paying attention. Like I kind of feel like you're sort of punishing the people who, if you had an 18 person soccer team, you know, just a question.
Okay. So I'll push back on that in a good way. Like, this is fun. I love this. But what if your number one salesperson is the squeaky wheel with communication because they're out there hustling and whatever?
I don't know.
Well, I think the question is like, you know, that's why I said like, sometimes doing it in video, you know, it's in person, but then having a video to where it's not as boring, like, or say it a little bit different to where they're not feeling like, oh, we've heard this already. But there will always be, this is a hard thing to sort of master. I just know that more communication, I've been burnt more by less communication.
Yes.
Than more.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So I always lean towards more communication than less.
I think about with advertising too, like our principles always that we were taught, an undergrad was a person needs to hear the same message 8 times before it sinks in. And so what I'm hearing from you in a time of an important message or something that really needs to sink in is they've got to hear it 3, 5, 8 times, right? For that message to sink in. And you might have the overachievers that get it on the first or second time, but a lot of people, it's going to take, even if they've heard it, they'll hear it differently the second, third, or fourth time.
Yeah. Well, and I think what I'm hearing is you want to over communicate. And if you have to adjust the other way, that's probably better than people always wondering what's going on. Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
And also multiple mediums too. Okay. And so like you guys use Slack, I get that. And I love this conversation. Do you guys, I guess, Seychelle and Wendy have like a predominant?
We use Slack.
Slack is our predominant one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ours is text, actually.
Slack is our predominant. And then for like one-on-one communication, it's probably text.
Yeah.
Like we don't have a lot of DMs.
I try to use Slack. I mean, you know, we have, you know, I just, well, you know, I just feel like, well, in our organization, there's nothing really that's very rarely is, are there super urgent things that have to happen at like 10 o'clock at night. And I know Jay and at his workplace, there's a lot of texting that's going on, and it's frustrating for him because Jay has very clear boundaries around his work-life balance. And so I try to let people, if you want to turn your Slack notifications on at night and find out what I'm talking about at night, you can do that. But like your text messages, you can do that too. And it's just a lot more personal, you know? So I just try to, you know, so many people are suffering from work-life balance fatigue, you know, just working all the time. So just trying to be good about that. But I mean, for sure, I will send a text message at 10 o'clock at night if there's something that needs to happen, you know.
I think our use of Slack versus text is actually one of our key things for our culture, because every night, that's one of what I do is I look in every location's team Slack channel, like, and I know what's going on, and then I can shout out certain agents. I can, I see the teamwork happening. I use that for mission moments. We take pictures from there to communicate across the network. Like all the leadership team at headquarters can help everywhere because it's in one centralized place versus like an internal text message string that we're not involved in. And I can actually coach my leaders if I can see how they handle certain things. And, I think it's been a key part of our culture is getting away from text. And we were very text heavy before, but putting it in that medium has helped us a lot.
Well, and it's just also like, if you're on vacation, you know what I mean? Like, even if you have a separate phone, who wants to come back to 1,000 text messages after you've been gone for a week? At least in Slack, you can kind of digest it and look through it and see what's important, what's not important. So,
and practically, yeah, totally you can mark Slack messages unread. You can't
do that.
And oh my gosh. It helps me not.
Hello,
forget
Apple. Stuff. Are you listening?
Yes, please change it.
Yeah, amen. Because that's what happens to me is they get lost. Oh,
yep. It's interesting you guys are mentioning Slack. I was talking to my sister-in-law who just recently moved from a nonprofit to starting to work at Coinbase or Coinbank. And Coinbase. And they have zero corporate email. It is all Slack. Not a single email.
Well, I think that is the best way to use Slack, actually.
I was like, whoa.
I love it. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, that's like, how it came about.
Huge international organization.
Who loves email? Raise their hand. Nobody.
Nobody says nobody.
I thought it was brilliant.
I do want to share. We were struggling with communication big time, and it's always something that we're trying to improve and get better on. So I had a call with my coach, and he really helped me develop 5 questions that we ask after the end of a meeting. And so I want to share those with our listeners. This is something that we've recently started implementing probably in about the last 3 months, and it's really helped. So question one is, in that meeting, what decisions were made today? So what decisions were made? Number two, who does that impact? So who in the organization do those decisions impact? Number three, who do we need to inform? So who are the people that need to be informed of these decisions? Who is the who in the meeting that's owning the communication? So everyone is clear on who's communicating it. And number five, when and how should this be communicated? And now we go to our flow of communication that we created. But when and how is it going to be communicated? Are the 5 questions that we're asking after every single meeting to make sure that communication happens.
So smart.
Love that.
Okay, I love that, Sarah. And may I share what we kind of do, which is similar. That's why I think it would build on that a little bit. We do.
Of course.
Have you guys ever heard of RACI? Does that ring a bell to anybody? It's Responsible, Accountable, Consult, Inform. So it's sort of similar. I was just trying to listen to it. So I guess the example would be if you were going to issue a key card to a new agent in one of our real estate offices that I run. And you're in a meeting about it, you'd say, okay, who's responsible, right? Who's responsible for making sure it happens? And then who's accountable to make sure the task was completed? Who are they accountable to? Who owns it? Who, you know, both things. Who needs to be consulted? Does anybody need to be consulted? Maybe the agent, maybe can they have access? Maybe there's certain doors they can have access to or not. And then who needs to be informed? Like, what if something goes wrong? Does security have to be informed? Does someone have to put it in a ledger? Does someone have to put it in a thing? So we just make sure that, you know, that we have RACI at the end of a lot of our meetings. And sometimes we find it's better if more than one person.
You have RACI meetings is what you're saying?
Ow. We have a RACI sexy meeting.
I know.
You did have all those everyone now buffalo butts in your last meeting.
I thought that was super racy, actually. It was muskox. Really racy. I've since learned I was staring at muskox butts.
Oh, sorry.
And that is a story for another time.
I can't tell what
time.
They are from behind, though, so you're going to have to tell me each time.
It was a musky butt.
It was.
If we had, you know, maybe I can put them on YouTube, but I don't know how to find where we are on YouTube. Oh, my goodness. So anyway, very similar, Sarah. Like I think the point is to have a framework, right? Mm-hmm. And to, you know, that everyone's talking the same language and everybody's so using. Good.
I love both of those. And then the front part of that meeting that is something that we always do is making sure if you're having, like, whether it's an operations agenda or a sales meeting or whatever it is, I like to send out the agenda ahead of time with the leaders so they can think through what they want to do to participate. And I always like to clearly communicate what the goal of that meeting is so that we don't go down so many bunny trails that we don't get to what we want. And the last thing I will say on that is if you are someone sending out communication via text to a leader, we mentioned this in our communication episode for our leadership series, but this is a trigger for all four of us. Never text me, "Do you have a minute?" My brain immediately spirals. Nothing good comes from where my head goes. I am super charged up by the time I get to you. And you probably just wanted to know what my favorite ice cream flavor was. I don't know. But like always say, "Do you have a minute for?" And tell me what the minute's for so I know if it's like
for
a real minute.
Chat.
Yeah. Do you have a minute to talk about your favorite ice cream flavors? Or is it, "Do you have a minute because I'm quitting?" Or do you have a minute
because of
whatever?
Which is a text I would personally love to receive. I don't know about you guys, but that's a dream for all my people listening right there.
Yeah, just text us, ask us about our ice cream flavors instead of all sorts of other hard topics. But like, that is
speaking
a
of
super
which,
trigger.
Woo. Shout out to Ruby and Diane Griffin, who sent me 12 pints of ice cream last week.
What?
For what?
Wow.
What flavors? Can we just communicate about the flavors?
Well,
for a second?
First of all, it was Grater's, you know, which is like that amazing Cincinnati ice cream.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was that. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, jealous.
So communicate in ice cream to Wendy.
Yes, in ice cream flavors.
100%. Literally. 100%.
Well, and just to kind of like round it out, Sarah, one of the things that I love about you is you've said this often is that you actually have a list of your team members on Facebook and you can just go in and you can kind of see quickly who's doing what's going on, where they're going. And it's a springboard for communication with them interpersonally, and you're liking and loving on them. And you can even use that as a shout out, you know? I just think that's just super smart because you feel engaged with that person, right? And they feel the same way. So.
I love that, Sarah. That's brilliant.
Yeah. And taking it offline is also super powerful. So, you know, sending them a text message, like you're commenting on it, but then even sending them a text message, say you do this with me a lot and it means so much to me. You take it offline. And so when you saw my story the other day and I was so exhausted and your message meant so much to me. And so when we can communicate that, with our team members of like taking it offline, like meaning I see you and opening it up to a conversation, say learn more about what was going on in my day that day. Right. That just showed her amazing leadership and care for people. And our team members, it means so much to them too. So when you do that, so.
Yeah, Seychelle's really good at that.
So good. You're so kind.
I love you guys.
Yes, guys. Well, guys, today was fantastic. Today was our tactical part 3 of our leadership series. And we talked about all the tactical things that we do every day in order to facilitate communication on our teams. Some highlights for me are really, you know, getting on the personal side with our team and making sure we're connecting with them at least once a week, if not more often. And you can do that through Facebook or like Sarah said, she's going in into Slack and kind of seeing what's happening. You know, if an agent on her team has got a tough deal, she knows to reach out to them. So I think that's super important. And then just have frameworks really for communication. So Via shared a really good one, which is a good framework for accountability. And then what are the systems that you're putting in place for communication across your whole organization? And these can start with as little as two people, guys. This isn't something that you start when your team is 300. And I can tell you that Sarah's frameworks for organization have changed dramatically over the last, 15 years as she's grown her team. And that's what it looks like. So start small and then, always think about creating your business on a 20-lane highway, even when you're still on a dirt path, because it's going to help you so much later. So
good.
Thank you guys so much for joining us again. Go out there and create big businesses and even bigger lives. Bye.
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 This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.